So we're picking up in the Vavim and Aleph. Well, it's about to begin a very fascinating halachic slash historical sociological discussion. Touches on the relationship to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, which is always a very, has been and still remains, you know, very fascinating topic. Bavel in the sense of, we call ourselves today Bavel, you know, the Chutzlars, but here the Gemara is talking about specifically the area of Bavel proper. So the Gemara that Bavel and Aleph are the two dots, it's about 12, 15 lines or so up from the top. First one is Ashkechei Itmar. We learned the following. Bavel. Rav Amak Eretz Yisrael and Gittin. Rav said that Bavel has the status like Eretz Yisrael and Gittin, therefore there's no need to say before an echta find echtam. Shmuel Amak Chutz Laretz, and Shmuel said that it has the status like Chutz Laretz. Leima Bavakam Iflagi. Let us say that they're arguing about the following point. The Mar Savar Lefisha Ebekim Lishma, that Rav was of the opinion that the whole reason for saying b'fayinecha b'fayinechdam is because of what they didn't weren't proficient in the lachs of the Shema, the Hanin Gemiri. And the place in Bavel, Baruch Hashem, the yeshivas, flourishing yeshivas in Bavel in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore there was no concern. Umar saw b'she'edet b'tzul b'kaimah, whereas the other opinion, Shmuel was of the opinion that has nothing to do with Tamid Chacham, it has to do with traffic. And that flow of traffic that existed in Eretz Yisrael in the olden days, the Gemara says, in terms of this mancha mesamikdash akaya, because of the regel, and even in later days, because of the system about the dinam that was set up. So perhaps that was lacking in Bavel, and therefore people were not as aware of other people's signatures. So maybe that was the point of contention. Says the Rabbi Tizbro, does that make any sense? Rabbi is like Rabba. We've said already many times that Rabba accepts Rabba's concern. Rabba added a concern of Eidekin Lishma, but of course the basic concern of Ein Eidekin Lishma Kaimo exists to find everybody. So if Bavel really doesn't have that flow of traffic, well then you should have to say B'fayin Echdav according to everyone. Ella, Gemara says you're right, the Kuliyam Ein Eidekin Lishma. Everybody agrees that the primary goal of saying B'fayin Echdav is to ensure that we have Kiyam Shtaros, to make sure that we recognize the signatures. Rav Savar gave the Ika Besifta Meshkeshchichi. Rav says that that sociological phenomenon that existed in Eretz Yisrael, that people were traveling, people were knowing each other's signatures, that existed in Bavel as well. Not because it was a Beis HaMikdash, but there was something else. There was yeshivas. So they had the great yeshivas in Bavel, which meant there was a lot of traffic, a lot of flow, and people were familiar with each other's signatures. Shmuel Savar, Shmuel has a fascinating response to that. The Sifta Bigir Sayot reading. Those who come to the yeshiva are busy learning. They're not looking at each other's signatures and documents. I guess Machlekes Rav and Shmuel help. What we're doing Ben Hasdarim, I guess, you know, during the downtime and the break. So according to Rav, we can assume that the Tamidim and the Rabbanim, that people used to visit the yeshivas twice a year for Yachai Kala, there was a lot of flow, traffic flow around the yeshivas. So Rav felt that was enough to solve any concerns of Kibbutz Shtaros in the future. And Shmuel thought that wasn't acceptable. So in Manami, we learned a similar idea. Amar bi'ama miravuna, asinu atzmeinu b'bavel ke'eretz Yisrael gittin. That we treat ourselves in Bavel like Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis gittin, and there's no need to say b'fani nechtav. When did that begin? Michi osa rav l'bavel. That was after Rav arrived in Bavel. As we know, the Gemara tells us that Rav started almost like a Torah revolution in Bavel. Until the days of the early Amoraim, there were yeshivas, there was Torah around Bavel already for hundreds of years, but nowhere on the scale like it became in the later generations. So that was the demarcation, that was the tradition when we became comfortable treating Gittin, the emanating from Bavel, as if they come from Eretz Yisrael. Masim Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the question, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Merekim v'Mizrach, Merekim k'Mizrach, V'Ashkelon v'Dor, V'Ashkelon k'Dor, V'Yachal Tzav, V'Yachal Ketzav, Our Mishnah speaks about the Gvulos Ha'aretz, and it's very clear that anything further east is like Chutz La'aretz, anything further south is Chutz La'aretz, anything further north is Chutz La'aretz. The Akal B'Tzafon, the Ha'Bavel Tzfona, the Eretz Yisrael, Kaima. Bavel is clearly towards the north, towards the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Just in case you don't know what it looks like on the map, so you look at the Pasuk and you know. So Bavel is northeast direction from Eretz Yisrael. It says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Oma Akko Keretzol Gittin. Rabbi Meir was willing to kvetch and let you treat Akko like Eretz Yisrael. The Mayor Lokama, Elaba Akal, the Mikaval, of a bubble, the Mechalo, But nobody went as far as to say, Bavel, the Koshi would be Makil on Akko. How are you going to be Makil further north? It doesn't make any sense. So it's a very, very difficult Shachmatar the Gemara, just to start, as many Tosas points out, that it sounds like we said before that the change took place in the days of Rav. So how are you bringing me a question from the Mishnah? The Mishnah was pre-days of Rav. So that's a question, what the Girsa was. Was it really Rav, or was perhaps it was even an earlier time when that transition occurred? But the bottom line is that the Mishnah was not considered to be too much of a problem. Most of them were the Barbie Bavel. The answer was given. He asked the question. He answered the question. Bavel was the exception. The Mishnah wasn't talking about the entire world. The Mishnah was saying the basic rules of Eretz Yisrael are as follows. So if you're a little bit south of Ashkelon, you're in trouble. A little bit north of Akko, you're in trouble. A little east of Rekab, you're in trouble. Are there other locations in the world where you don't have to simplify the Rekab? Yeah, you're in Babylonia. That's its own category. The Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't talking about the status of Bavel. So now we're assuming Malacha that all those gittin that are coming from above El actually do not require B'fai Nechtam, B'fai Nechtam. Now we're asking a very technical question. Hechad Yibavel. Where exactly is going to lie? What are the borders above El? So we're almost paralleling the Mishnah. So just in case we knew nothing about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, in case we didn't understand the records of the Ashkelon story, so we're going to understand by a little bit less about the borders of Babylonia in the 3rd century. So what were the Gvulos? So Rapapa makes a reference to a fascinating discussion, the 4th Brach Masechas Kedushin, where the Gemara tells us that there were different gradations in terms of the purity of lineage, in terms of the yichus issues in different Jewish communities in the world. The Gemara says that actually Bavel was pretty good. Some other places were not as good. So it was important. People wanted to know who was coming from where. So the Gemara has actually different opinions in Masechas Kedushin, where precisely we can be comfortable drawing the line of demarcation of what's considered to be halachically Bavel. So Rav Papa said, learn the sugya there in Kedushin. Whatever we said in Kedushin about Yichus is the same here. Rabbi Yosef said, no, Machlokes to Yuchsin. The Machlokes in Kedushin was concerning Yuchsin, who was considered to have a better lineage. About the Gittin, Divrei HaKol, when it comes to Gittin, everybody agrees to the following border. So it sounds like we're about to get something that we know, we can identify with, we can point to. The border is at Arva Tinyana de Gishra, going to the second willow tree past the bridge. So again, I guess if you lived in Bubble in the 300s, you knew exactly. It's like today, if I would say to somebody, I have to go over the bridge. So nobody would have any question which bridge you're not going over. London Bridge, everyone knows which bridge you're over. In 1500 years from now, if somebody found a piece of paper and said, I was a Muskie went over the bridge, they wouldn't know which bridge. Rabbi Yosef said the bridge, and everyone knew what the willow tree was. So sure, by the second willow tree, you don't have to say, before Nechel, before Nechel. The Chizda Matrich, Me'atisfo, Me'ardash here, will be Ardash, Le'atisfo, Le'atrich. So Rav Chizda required the saying of Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam, going from the town of Achtikzvon to the town of Be'er Da'ashir, but not vice versa, which is startling. How can it be? If you're really concerned about people not knowing each other's signatures, so how in the world do some know some and the others don't know the others? What's going on? The Gemara comes to Gemara and says, maybe the only way to explain this discrepancy is as follows. Leinikasav, and maybe Rav Chizda was of the opinion that the whole goal of saying b'fanei nechdam was simply for lishma. One of those two cities was more proficient than the other, so that would explain why gittin coming from the greater Tamir Chacham city would suffice without saying b'fanei nechdam, where vice versa would be required to. So comes the Gemara with the same challenge we've asked multiple times, but that's not acceptable. But Tisbara, the Rabbi is the Rabbi. We've said already 100 times that Rabbi agrees to Rabbi. Everybody agrees to the basic concerns of Ein Eni B'Tzum L'Kaimu. So how in the world can you explain this phenomena that City 1 knows City 2 and City 2 doesn't know City 1? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So the Gemara says, no, it really does make sense. El Dukuliyama B'Tzum L'Kaimu. Everybody agrees that the purpose of B'Fanei Nechtav is because we're afraid people may not recognize signatures. Hani came in the Azli the Shuka Lahosam, Hanach Yadi Mechasimos Yadu Dahani, the Hani with the Hanach Yadi. Mar says that one town used to go to the marketplace in the other town. So therefore, one town knew the signatures of the others. Why was that? How did one know and one didn't know? Mar says, my time is Shukayotri. The people who are doing business, they're coming in, they're in a rush. I got to come in, sell my stock and get out of there quickly. I don't have time to go schmooze with people. I don't have time to go sit around. I'm not going to see other documents. Whereas vice versa, if I'm coming in for a couple of hours of business, it's very possible I'm going to write documents. I'm going to leave things there. The relaxed storekeepers, they have all the time in the world. I think we know that model. Sometimes when you come into go to the store and it's a struggle. You're in a rush. Behind the counter's not in a rush. So the people behind the counter, they can have more time. They'll recognize, they'll have time to see other people's documents. Rabbi Avua Matzich Me'arsa La'arsa. Rabbi Avua would require b'fanei nechtam from one row of houses to another row of houses where we're cutting down at what's called Medina Sayyab. We thought Medina Sayyab, guys, we get from China, from the other end of the world. So now he says, no, not so simple. Rav Sheshes Matzich B'Shchunu L'Shchuna. Rav Sheshes would require B'Fayinecha from one neighbor to another. Rava Matzich B'Osa Shchuna. Rava would insist on B'Fayinecha even in the same neighborhood. Yes, the Gemara, but Rava D'Yama B'Sha'in Eidim B'Tzul L'Kaimo. Rava was the one who said that people don't recognize each other's signatures. What are you afraid of? The guy lives across the street and he doesn't recognize the other fellow's signatures. Shiny Bnei Machuzah Denai Dei. So come to the Gemara and concludes that the Bnei Machuzah, the town that Rava lived in, people were moving around all the time. People didn't stay there forever. You know, they live in the same town your whole lifetime and everybody knows each other and everyone's one bungalow colony. So then it's possible everyone's going to know each other's signatures. And people are coming and going off to the market, they're disappearing, they're coming, they're moving. So Bnei Machuzah Denai Dei. It's based on this law in the Gemara. The Tosus has a comment. Take a quick look at the last little bottom Tosus. It's a short one. Shai ben Mechuz Naidu b'kan posik Rebbein Adam t'hashtim b'zman hazeh tzach lo b'chol mochum f'anechtav. So Rebbein Adam says, guess what? Today, who's going to judge? Who knows whose signatures? We'll throw out a test case. I think we spent some time together every morning. I'm looking around. I don't think I know any one of your signatures. I don't think I can recognize. You could do this. Think about how many of your neighbor's signatures would you recognize? So Bismanazah, we're jumping around. So therefore, Bismanazah, we are very weary about this. So therefore, all gittin that take place in Chutz La'aretz, we are going to insist on b'fanechtel. I was once asked, I needed somebody to be a shaliach, a get for something. So they asked me if I was interested in doing it, but I couldn't do it in the end. But part of the incentive was, I said, if you do it, you will have the ability to say Fanecha, Fanecha. I was like so excited. Fanecha, real, like the real thing, not just, you know, not just the guy in the second willow tree off a boat in Buffalo on the bridge, the real thing. Otherwise, it was like, well, you outside Mark.
And nowadays, you didn't ever swell.
It could be an answer. I'll tell you, I'm not sure. I don't have to check with the Dayan and answer. What happens? The same concerns, right? The same concerns. It could be, I don't know. So I'm sorry.
You know, Thomas said this man is not just, doesn't distinguish between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael.
Well, Rebbein Tam wasn't moving Eretz Yisrael. He was talking about 9 days of Ben Chusas and that kind of stuff. Rav Chanin Mishtoi, Rav Chanin told us over the following story. Rav Kahana Isaacito. Rav Kahana once brought a get. I don't remember, says Rav Chanin, where the get started from Sur and ended up in Nahado. Those are the two big yeshivas, the two big Jewish communities in the early days of the Amoraim and Bavel. He made Nahado the Surah, or the other way around. Osla Kamei the Rav. So he came in front of Rav and he said, So he posed the question, am I required to say B'fai Nechtem? He's basically asking the question with the status of Bavel. That was the hot topic a couple of lines earlier. So I'm a little tricky. So Rav said to him, no, you don't really have to. Rav says, the Bavel carries this role. That Mikra did by the days of Rav already, so it was not necessary to say B'fai Nechtem in Bavel. At the top of Bavel remains, but the Avda Sahanis, even though you're not technically required to do so, it's not such a bad idea to do it. And if you do it, it's going to work. And you're not going to require to do Kiyum Shtaros. So all of a sudden, now we're introduced to a little bit of a twist in the Sigim B'Fai Necha B'Fai Nechtam. We thought until now, it's kind of black and white. Either you're required to say it, or there's nothing to be gained by saying it. It's meaningless to say it. That's how simple the Gemara says. It could be having an area where technically you don't have to say it, but if you say it, it's going to help you down the line if and when the husband comes to complain about the get. So what does that mean? Ma'i Avda Sahadis. What does that mean that saying B'Fai Nechtam is going to help? The husband's going to come and scream, in 6 months from now, the get is mezuyah, if it's a forgery, we're going to ignore him. Kiddusanya, we learned the following brayso. There was a story, a person once came, Shehevi get lefnei Rabbi Yishmael. He brought it again in front of Rabbi Yishmael. So he posed the question to Rabbi Yishmael, am I supposed to say before I nechtam or not? So Rabbi Yishmael said to him, my son, where are you from? He responded back to Rabbi, Mikfar Sisoi ani. I'm from this village called Kfar Sisoi. I'm alone. He said to him, yes, you have to say so that you won't have to bring Edim at a later point. So the Gemara is going to question, did Rabbi Shmuel mean to say he really has to say it? He's mechuyev to say it? Or was Rabbi Shmuel alluding to what we just mentioned before, that say it and it's going to be good for you and it's going to help us and it's going to avoid any complications at a later point? So the bottom line is it's a little bit unclear what Rabbi Shmuel's psak was, but clearly Rabbi Shmuel was telling him that he should say it, but it's not clear it was an absolute requirement. After he left, nichnas the fun of Rabbi Eloi. So Rabbi Eloi came to in front of Rabbi Shmuel and questioned Rabbi Shmuel's psak. Amar le Rabbi, he said to him, Rabbi, really? Such a person from that village, that town of Kfar Sisoi, has to say before necha, before necha. For the Kfar Sisoi, we've lost b'tchum Eretz Yisrael, that Kfar Sisoi is swallowed up in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Remember, we spoke about this back in the days, where you have cities that are kind of very, very close, adjacent to the border, and they're actually, quote unquote, swallowed up in the border, in the sense of, if you would draw a straight line from the furthest protruding cities, you would not be in Eretz Yisrael. So this city of Kfar Sisoi is very, very close. Ukrovel Tzipori Yosem Yachol. And it is closer to Tzipori. Tzipori was the main city. It was the area where Mishnayos, the Beis Din, was in that area. And this town, this little village of Kfar Sisoi, is close to Yosem Yaakov. It's even closer than Yaakov. Utran Rabbi Meir Ma'akov and Sol Gittin. And Rabbi Meir's opinion was that a get from Yaakov does not require Befar Nechtov. Vafilu Rabbanu Lepligele, the Rabbi Meir, Elabi Yaakov, the Mechagot. Even the Rabbanu who disagreed with Rabbi Meir about the technicalities of that the city of Akko. That's because Akko is not so close. About Kfar Sisoi, the Mikavelo, Kfar Sisoi, which is closer, there really is no purpose, there is no need to say Befaynecha, Befaynechta. So Rabbi Eloi, the Talmud, and Rabbi Shmuel made quite a case against his Rebbe. Why do you require him? Befaynecha, Befaynechta. So Amalai, Rabbi Shmuel, said to him, Shtok b'ni shtok. He said, shh. He said, be quiet. He said, no, don't talk about this. Hol v'yata d'avim heter, yata. He said, Lemaisa, we would just make them. I told him to say before Nechta, before Nechta, and it's going to work, and we're going to be makel based on the saying of before Nechta, before Nechta, and no one's going to, if somebody questions again, we'll ignore it. So don't question the Psach. So comes the Gemara, and forget about questioning the Psach. The Gemara questions the whole story. Rabbi Shmuel never meant to say you have to say before Nechta, before Nechta. If you go back to the original source of the story was this fellow comes with a get from Kfar Sisoi. And Rabbi Shmuel says, "Say before Nechtam," and he said explicitly why Shalot Yizach Liyedim, that we shouldn't have trouble later. I.e., you don't really have to say it. Rabbi Shmuel agreed this is not really Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Shmuel was saying it as an insurance policy, as a backup plan. Say it so that if and when somebody comes to question the get, we won't have to accept their criticism of this get. So comes the Gemara and says, if that's all Rabbi Shmuel meant, so why should we lie? How can a Chinese get saying, why are you saying it? Why are you saying it? Right? He said he's saying it only as a chumra, as a way of precaution for the future. Rabbi Loi didn't have the whole story. The Gemara says, Rabbi Loi was sitting outside. He heard a shaliach say before Nechdom. He saw the guys come from Christ. So he didn't chop the whole story that it was just a chumra bi'alma. It was just to protect themselves in the future. So the bottom line is that we now have support for this idea that you can have areas in the world where really Befar Nechtav is in fact not required, but it's not a bad idea, and saying it may actually help you down the line. Sholach li Rabbi Yosel Rav Chizda. Rabbi Yosel sent the message to Rav Chizda, Gittin aboy misham lakan, ein tzach lo Befar Nechtav, Befar Nechtav. That the Gittin that are coming from Bavel all the way to Eretz Yisrael No problem. There's no need to say before Necha, before Necha. Mar gets a little bit startled. That's quite a trip. That's a couple of day journey from Bubble to Eretz Yisrael. Leimek Kasav Lefish Embeki and Lishma. Back to the old story. Maybe the reason is because Rabbi Yosser held that the whole purpose of the Fananechta was simply for Lishma. Hani Gemiri and the Talmid Chacham already in Bubble were already settled in, ready for the days of Rav, and therefore there's no concern. So they might ask for the fifth time in one amud. For Disbara, does that make any sense? But Rabbi slayed the Rava. Rava agrees to Rava. And if Rava agrees to Rava, so you have to worry about recognizing signatures. So recognize the signatures. Well, from Eretz Yisrael to Bubble. The people are sitting in Tveria and they open up a get and they say, oh yeah, but no, we know all those guys sitting in Hardops, 1,000 miles away. The Gemara says, yes, the reason for B'fai Nechtav is to make sure in place of Kibush Taras, the cave of the Ika Rabim, the Salki B'Nachtei Meshka Shchichi. There is a lot of traffic between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. People are coming and going, and therefore you will be able to find people who can show us. We know this for a fact. In the days of the early Amoraim, there was loads of stories, many, many, many stories about the Talmidei Chacham would come and go for back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and therefore the Gemara was satisfied that the amount of traffic going back and forth was enough to ensure that we'll find Edom down the line if we need to do so. So that was the message that Rabbi Yosser had sent to Rav Chisda from Eretz Yisrael, this kula. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, man lema van de Rabbi Yosef bar Samchahu. Now, Gemara's question of Yosef, the next generation's question, I said, Rabbi Yosser, we never heard of him. I'm not sure who he is. Is he someone who can be relied on, someone who can be semich on, that his psak is in fact the correct? And Rabbi Yosef, not only is just throwing out the question, we're not quite sure who he is, we do know a little bit about him, and there's something that Rabbi Yosser had said that showed that maybe he wasn't quite up to par in terms of his of the ability to rely on him in all of these intricate areas of halacha. But Rabbi Yosser had once sent a letter to Rabbi Yehuda. Yosser again was Rabbi Yosser from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosser was in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda was in Bavel. And Rabbi Yosser had sent a message that led it to Rabbi Yehuda about the following, criticizing people who come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael for long periods of time to learn. So that's not such a great idea. Because this is a loaded question. This is singing back in the first book says Kedushin. You have this phenomena of people that would get married and then they would go off to learn Eretz Yisrael. Two minutes. They would get married and go off to Eretz Yisrael to go learn. It's a beautiful phenomenon. We have it today, except today the wives go with them. In the old days, the wives didn't necessarily go with them. It wasn't exactly. This was not the Ramada Shkol, model. It's a little bit of a different model. So the husbands would get married. They would go off. Sometimes they would have one or two kids already in the house. They'd go off to go learn. Again, in those days, you went off to Eretz Yisrael to learn. You didn't go for a week. You didn't go for a yachikal. You went for a yachikal. You went for 3 years on end. So Rabbi Yosser sent the message from you to criticizing that practice. He didn't think that was a good idea for many, many reasons. And the problem was, in the way that he sent the message, so there was some halacha that he didn't seem to be familiar with in the way that he presented the message. And Rabbi Yosser's picking on that and saying, hey, yeah, the only thing we know about Rabbi Yosser is this one famous letter that he said telling us to stop coming to learn Eretz Yisrael. And that one letter had some kind of a lack of knowledge about something. And if so, that throws a whole monkey wrench. Can we trust any halacha that's being said there? Rabbi Yosser, not quite sure that he's up to par in terms of passing halacha. So it's left to wait until the next year to figure out what exactly Rabbi Yosser did or didn't do. So the next, let's chill on.
We're starting right now, 2 minutes.
Okay. So tomorrow we'll have whatever time we'll do. Tomorrow will be the regular.
You interested?
Whatever it is, 10 minutes. Whatever, get to show me 6:20 tomorrow, and then hopefully Thursday we'll continue. By Friday, is people around still by the end of the week?
Let's see.
Who's going away? Okay, we'll talk about it.
Thursday.
So Thursday, hopefully we'll still have on Thursday. Friday we'll determine. On Thursday we'll decide who's still. We'll take a head count on Thursday, see who's still around by Friday.